A time when you've lost a loved one, it's difficult to find any joy. Life seems to have no meaning while going through the grieving process. Introducing the funeral kazoo. You just can't help to shake those blues when you hear your favorite hymns being played by a kazoo. The funeral march. Amazing Grace. And even Oh Danny Boy. Now, don't that sound so much more cheery than those old bagpipes? The funeral kazoo. Let's put the fun back in funeral.
Due to the extreme nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the next episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. Focusing on everything that's relevant to the greatest generation alive today, Generation X. So if it involves movies, music, TV, and a bit of history from 1960 through 1999, we're going to talk about it. Who knows? You might just learn something before it's all said and done. And if you're lucky, this grouchy old fart might just regale you with a story or two. I'm Robert Popp, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska.
This portion of the show is brought to you by beer. Beer, helping people get laid for hundreds of years.
I'm just a regular guy who wants the same thing everybody else wants. Food, family, shelter, friends, and plenty of ice-cold, schlit-faced beer. Just not necessarily in that order. Like last Friday evening, we brought over some Schlitfaced Distortion, the newest addition to the Schlitfaced family of beers, to Andy's garage. And in less than an hour, Stacy not only busted out her dance moves from the summer of 1986, but also was going around asking people to pull her finger. That's when we knew it was going to be one of those nights. Distortion, from the special waters of Flint, Michigan, Schlitfaced brewers have outdone what said couldn't be done. A beer with even more alcohol, where Schlitfaced Light is a mere 47.3%, Distortion has a dangerous 69.6 level of alcohol. Pick up a can of Distortion from Schlitfaced Brewers, the only beer with a warning from the Surgeon General. Distortion wants to remind you, if you are going to drink, drink responsibly. Drinking any of the Schlitfaced products may result in blindness, erectile dysfunction, explosive diarrhea, memory loss, strange rashes, genital warts, and possible anal leakage.
Dick's Liquor wants to remind you, if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. Dick's Liquor has the widest selection of beer, like Schlitfaced beer or Beerios. And cold? Fuck yeah. Our beer is so cold it will remind you of your ex's heart. Stop into Dick's Liquors and stock up. Dick's Liquor, located in the SNM Family Fun Center Plaza, next to the Shack of Sit.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to this week's episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. This week, headed in that old time machine, we are going back to the year 1987 for one of my favorite movies, The Princess Bride. But, as always, we're going to talk about what happened in 1987, so here's our history lesson. World leaders at the time. General Secretary of the CPSU, Mikhail Gorbachev. Here in the United States,
well, I'm still president for a little bit yet. I've had a little bit of issues here lately, and,
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And the United Kingdom,
That's just, to me, that's just what she sounds like. Sorry.
Top headlines for 1987. The Fox Broadcasting Company made its primetime debut that year. And the first Simpsons cartoon short is shown on Tracy Ullman's show during April on Fox.
Ugh. God, I hate this fucking show.
And my daughter will say that I'm like Danny Tanner. I fucking hate Full House. The popular TV sitcom Full House debuts on ABC. Baby M case is the first case in the American court ruling on the validity of surrogacy. I kind of remember this, that parent A and parent B could not yet to get pregnant with the equipment they had because either the eggs were dried up or the guy had some non-athletic swimmers, whatever. Anyway, so they ended up putting everything in a test tube, shaking it up like a milkshake, and then they inserted it into this woman. Well, after she carried this baby for the 9 months or 8.5 months, whatever the heck it was, she wants to keep it. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, yes, you know, parent A owned the eggs. Parent B owned the semen, and then parent C was the incubator. So, I really don't know how I feel about that, but I do remember it. It was a rough year for the stock market that year. We had our Black Monday. The U.S. stock market crashed on Monday, October 19th, with a 508-point drop, or 22.6%. Stock markets around the world follow with falls. By the end of October, Australia had fallen by 41.8%, Canada by 22.5%, Hong Kong, by the way, I love just saying Hong Kong, 45.8%, and the United Kingdom, 26.4%. Wow. United States President Reagan delivers his famous speech at the Berlin Wall, where he begged General Secretary Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And in a short 5 years later, they were. The USS Stark, a frigate, is attacked on May 17th by an Iraq air-to-sea missile, which is, quote, an accident, right? And 37 sailors are killed. William Buckley, American hostage in Lebanon, is reported to have been slain. Oliver North tells congressional inquiry, higher officials approved his secret Iran-Contra operations.
Well, I can't believe that I would ever do something like that. But you know, if, mommy, did they make me sign something like that?
Admiral John M. Poindexter, that's a fun name to say, Poindexter, let's just all say that together, Poindexter, former National Secretary Advisor testified he authorized the use of Iran arms sale profits to aid the Contras. George B. Shultz testified he was deceived repeatedly on the Iran-Contra affair. And Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger tells the inquiry of official deception and intrigue. Wow. Reagan says Iran arms Contra policies went astray and he accepts responsibilities.
Hell, you know, I can't guarantee that I actually put my support behind it, but I was the commander in chief. I was the guy sitting on the throne. I was the big cheese, so yes, I'll take responsibility for that.
Thank you, Mr. President. Margaret Thatcher is elected for a third time as Prime Minister of United Kingdom, and she wasn't as popular as what the fuck she thought she was a few years later. Britain's Great Order of the Garter is opened to women during August. The Order of the Garter is considered the, quote, most exclusive and prestigious level of knighthood in England. Well, I want to be part of the Order of the Garter. Great Southern British Storm of 1987. Hurricane force winds hit much of the south of England and killed 23 people. Man, that sucks. In the United Kingdom, Michael Robert Ryan, well, he killed 16 people in Hungerford with an assault rifle and then commit suicide. Well, he saved the courts a bunch of money. Too bad he had to take out all those other people. King's Cross Fire was an underground fire in King's Cross Tube Station, which we would call the subway here in the United States, in London on November 18th, 1987. It killed 31 people. Man, that's some bad shit going on over there. Mathis Rust, a West German citizen, flew a small Cessna plane into Moscow and landed in Red Square. I don't remember what happened. I could not find anything. I don't know whether the guy was arrested, if he was shot, if he was drawn and quartered. I have no idea. Maybe they just made him parade around naked in Red Square. I don't know. A cross-channel ferry capsized outside the harbor of Zeebrugge, Belgium, killing 193 passengers and crew. Good God! Where the fuck did I come up with these headlines? Man, fucking 87 was disturbingly depressing. Wow. Oh, here's some good news. The Disney Corporation and France agree to create an amusement park. Yay, Disney. Terry Waite, the special envoy of the Archbishop of Canterbury in Lebanon, is kidnapped in Beirut. And I got to tell you, that's it for the top headlines. Wow. They were kind of depressing. Notable deaths that year, Rita Hayworth, she passed away. Fred Astaire, Lee Marvin, he was a great actor. Director John Huston, great director. Danny Kaye, you know, the thing about Danny Kaye for me, I like the old movies and I like the corny old movies like with Rita Hayworth and Fred Astaire and Danny Kaye, those types of things. But here's the thing about Danny Kaye. About half of what it is that he's in, I like. The other half, ugh, no. I'd rather slam my fingers at a door. There's no fucking gray zone. Jackie Gleason, he passed away. Randolph Scott, and if you're a fan of Blazing Saddles, you know that I have my hand over my heart. Randolph Scott. And you know what I mean. Robert Preston, he passed away. Liberace, he passed away. But here's a manly man. Lauren Green, he passed away. Patrick Troughton, he was the second doctor on Doctor Who. It mentioned that last season. Hayden Rourke. You may not know that name, but I'm going to guarantee you, if you ever watched I Dream of Jeannie, that was Dr. Bellows. Andy Warhol, he passed away. And unfortunately, Dan Rowan of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In passed away that year. Cost of living. Average cost of a new house, $92,000. Average income, $24,300. Average monthly rent, $395. Gallon of gas, $0.89. Not bad. Not bad at all. Pound of bacon, $1.80. Postage stamp, 24 cents. And a dozen eggs, 65 cents. Wow, 65 cents for a dozen eggs. That's, yeah. I can't even fucking remember when the tax wasn't 65 cents. Fuck me. In the music store, top five songs on the U.S. charts. I Want to Dance with Somebody Who Loves Me by Whitney Houston. I don't know. Is the H silent in that? Is it just Whitney or is it Whitney? You let me know. Alone by Heart. That's a great song. Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship. Darn right. Here I Go Again on My Own by Whitesnake. And Shakedown by Bob Seger. I don't think he had the Silver Bullet Band with him anymore by that time. Top five R&B songs. The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson. My Forever Love by LaVert. I Want to Be Your Man by Roger. God, I love that song. Girlfriend by Pebbles. And here's a name everybody's forgotten about. I Want Her by Mr. Keith Sweat. I was not a fan of his name. I don't know why. It just made me uncomfortable, but I like his music. A lot of his songs I like. So, top five songs on the country charts. Oh, and it has got some good people on there. Rough and Rowdy Days by Mr. Waylon Jennings. Tennessee Flat Top Box by Roseanne Cash. That's My Job by Conway Twitty. That song always reminded me of my dad. The Last One to Know by Reba McEntire, and You've Been Too Gone Too Long by Randy Travis. Top one-hit wonders for that year, Keep Your Hands to Yourself, You Dirty Bastard by Georgia Satellites. I liked the song when it came out. Now when I hear it, it's cringy. I don't know why. And it just makes me want to turn the radio off. Maybe it's because it was just overplayed so much. Here's one that got a lot of airplay, too. But it was, I don't know, I still like this song, Heart and Soul by T'Pau. And if you don't already know this story, T'Pau is actually the name of a Vulcan high priestess. And that was their way of paying homage to Star Trek and specifically the Vulcans in Star Trek when they were naming their band. There you go. That's now living rent-free in your head. I'm Living in a Box. In a Cardboard Box by, God, these guys did not have much as far as creativity. Living in a Box by Living in a Box. Break Out by Swing Out Sisters. And I believe this was the last time that the Grateful Dead was on the charts with A Touch of Grey. I love that song. I like the Dead, too. On the Crime Beat, guess what, people? We're going to talk a little bit of religion. And debauchery with this section. So, Jim Baker, televangelist and convicted felon, between 1974 and 1987, Baker hosted the television program The PTL Club and its cable television platform, the PTL Satellite Network, with his then-wife, Tammy Faye. He also developed Heritage USA, a now defunct Christian theme park in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Baker resigned from the PTL ministry after a cover-up of hush money came to light to the church secretary, Jessica Hahn, for alleged rape. Subsequent revelations of accounting fraud brought about felony charges, conviction, imprisonment, and divorce, and not necessarily in that order. In 1979, Baker and the PTL came under investigations by the FCC for alleged misuse of funds raised on the air. The FCC report was then finalized in 1982, and it was found that Jim Baker had raised $350,000 that he told viewers was going to go towards funding overseas missions. But it was actually used to pay for part of his theme park, Heritage USA. The report also found that the Bakers used PTL funds for personal expenses. Ooh, that's just so surprising. The FCC then forwarded its report on to the U.S. Department of Justice, which declined to press charges, citing, quote, insufficient evidence. Baker used the controversy to raise even more funds from his audience, branding the investigation as a, quote, witch hunt, and asking viewers to, quote, give the devil a black eye by writing your checks. A confidential 1985 IRS report found that $1.3 million in ministry funds was used for Jim and Tammy's personal benefit from 1980 through 1983. My God, that's a lot of money to use in three years. Wow. Huh. The report recommended that the PTL be stripped of its tax-exempt status, but no action was taken until after the Jessica Hahn scandal broke in 1987. The Washington Post wrote that politics may have played a role in the government agencies wanting to take no action against the PTL, despite the evidence against them, as many members of the Reagan administration were not eager to go after television ministers whose evangelical followers made up a bunch of their base voters. I can see that. A $275,000 payoff for the silence of Jessica Hahn, who alleged that Baker and former PTL Club co-host John Wesley Fletcher drugged her and raped her, and that she was paid with PTL funds through Baker's associate, Roe Mesner. Baker, who made PTL's financial decisions, allegedly kept two sets of books to conceal accounting irregularities. Who would have ever thought? Wow. Reporters for the Charlotte Observer, led by Charles Shepard, investigated PTL's finances and published a series of articles. On March 19, 1987, after the disclosure of a payoff to Hahn, Baker then resigned. Although he acknowledged he had had a sexual encounter with Hahn in a hotel room in Florida, he denied raping her. Baker was also the subject of a homosexual and bisexual allegations, oh my, made by Fletcher and PTL director Jay Babcock, which Baker denied under oath. Rival televangelist John Ankenberg appeared on the Larry King Live show and made several allegations of moral impropriety against Baker, which both Bakers, Jim and Tammy, denied. Baker was then succeeded as PTL head by the Reverend Jerry Falwell of the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchville, Virginia. Baker chose Falwell as his successor because he feared fellow televangelist Jimmy Swaggart, who had initiated an Assembly of God investigation into Baker's sexual misconduct, was attempting to take over his ministry. Man, this sounds like some serious freaking soap opera bullshit. Baker believed that Falwell would temporarily lead the ministry until the scandal died down. So he was expected to do a Jimmy Hoffa, is what he was doing, because Hoffa left his putts in charge thinking that he was going to take over as soon as he got out. Well, he got fucked on the deal. Kind of the same way with Baker. Falwell then barred Baker from returning to the PTL forever. Upon hearing allegations of illicit behavior, which went beyond the Hahn allegations. Later that summer, the donations declined sharply in the wake of Baker's resignation, and that marked the end of the PTL club. Falwell and the remaining members of the PTL board resigned in October 1987, stating that the ruling from the bankruptcy court judge made rebuilding the ministry impossible. In response to the scandal, Falwell called Baker a liar, an embezzler, a sexual deviant, and the greatest scab of and cancer on the face of Christianity in 2,000 years of church history. Man, that was a little bit rough. On CNN, Swaggart stated that Baker was a cancer in the body of Christ. In February 1988, Swagger became involved in his own sex scandal after being caught visiting prostitutes in New Orleans. He was just trying to bring them in. The Baker and Swaggart scandals had a profound effect on the world of televangelism, causing greater media scrutiny of TV ministers and their finances. Falwell said scandals had strengthened broadcast evangelism and made Christianity even stronger, more mature, and more committed. After a 16-month federal grand jury probe, Baker was indicted in 1988 on 8 counts of mail fraud, 15 counts of wire fraud, and 1 count of conspiracy. In 1989, a jury found him guilty on all 24 counts. Judge Robert Daniel Potter sentenced Baker to 45 years in federal prison and imposed a $500,000 fine. The United States Courts of Appeal for the Fourth Circuit upheld Baker's conviction on the fraud and conspiracy charges. They voided Baker's 45-year sentence and $500,000 fine and ordered that he a new sentencing hearing in February of 91. The court ruled that Potter's sentencing statement about Baker, quote, "Those of us who have a religion are sick of being saps for money-grubbing preachers and priests," end quote, was evident that the judge had injected his own religious beliefs into Baker's sentencing. A sentence reduction hearing was then held November 16, 1992, and Baker's sentence was reduced to only 8 years. Baker was released from federal prison custody on December 1, 1994, still owing $16 million to the IRS to this day. Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. In the movie theater, Full Metal Jacket was out there. That was a great movie. Wall Street, great movie. Good Morning Vietnam, another great movie. How about if I just point out the bad ones? Predator, that's I like that movie. Fatal Attraction, RoboCop, Witches of Eastwick, Lethal Weapon, The Lost Boys, Hellraiser, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Flowers in the Attic, Spaceballs, Roxanne, Can't Buy Me Love, Throw Mama from the Train, The Secret of My Success, The Untouchables, Dirty Dancing, 3 Men and a Baby, Moonstruck, Mannequin, Over the Top. Now, there we finally go. I did not like that movie. All the rest of them, man, I'm actually pretty good with. This Over the Top and The Quick and the Dead. God, I did not like that movie at all. Beverly Hills Cop 2, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Raising Arizona. God, now there's a sucky-ass movie if I've ever seen one. Holy fuck balls. Oh, I cannot even imagine. That, you know, of all the Mandela effects, let's get rid of this one, too. Raising Arizona, gone. Evil Dead 2, Burglar, that had Whoopi Goldberg and Bobcat Goldthwait in it. Blind Date, that had Bruce Willis and Kim Basinger. That was actually a pretty decent movie. We were on our fourth police academy, Citizen on Patrol. Making Mr. Right, that had John Malkovich in it. Yes, that's my John Malkovich. He always sounds like he's on Quaaludes and has, like, a piece of gauze in his mouth under his tongue. Project X, that had Matthew Broderick in it, and Ali Sheedy. If I remember right, that was the monkey movie. Creepshow 2, love all the Creepshows. By the way, if you've not seen them on AMC or AMC Plus, they did have a short series. I believe that it's only been 2 seasons, and I don't know that they're going to redo it, of the Creepshow, which is great. The Gate, Ishtar, that sucked. Harry and the Hendersons, Dragnet, you know me, I love my Dragnet, and that had Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks in it. Adventures in Babysitting, Innerspace, The Brave Little Toaster. Now, how many of you guys that are listening
watch that either with your kids or maybe you were a kid. So when you see a toaster and an iron, an electric blanket, and a vacuum cleaner, you know exactly what's happening. You know what's going to happen. La Bamba, summer school, Masters of the Universe, that sucked. Who's That Girl, that sucked. No Way Out, that was a great movie. That was before Kevin Costner just decided to do nothing but westerns. Born in East L.A., The Monster Squad, Hamburger Hill, House, the second story. I know House was really actually kind of scary, but House 2 was more horror comedy. I loved it. I thought it was really fucking awesome. Like Father, Like Son, that was one of those body-switching shows that we had all of them happening at the same time. That had Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron in it. Hello Again, Hiding Out, that had John Cryer in it, where he was like this investment banker that knew too much about the mob, and he goes and he stays with his cousin. Great movie. I like that movie. The Running Man, Teen Wolf 2, not as great as The Teen Wolf. Batteries Not Included. I have just recently been seeing where a lot of people have, they forgot about Batteries Not Included. That was a great movie. Check that out. If you want to know why most of us are fucked in the head and we have no filters anymore, it's because Eddie Murphy Raw was out in 1987. Damn, I'm just going to leave it there. Overboard, and probably one of the worst Bill Cosby movies ever made. This piece of cellulose should be destroyed. Leonard Part 6. It is just so fucking dumb. I mean, dumb. On TV, we were watching Johnny Depp. He was on 21 Jump Street. Beverly Hills Bunts, if you don't remember that, that was the spinoff from the character of Detective Bunts on Hill Street Blues, where he moved to Beverly Hills to try and capture in on the Beverly Hills cop thing that was going on. Didn't work. Worked better when he went back to New York and was on NYPD Blue. Great, great show. Candid Camera, classic Concentration, The Days and Nights of Molly Dodd, A Different World, Down and Out in Beverly Hills, that was the TV series, DuckTales, like DuckTales, Fraggle Rock, the animated series, and here it is, I'm recording this on Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th, the series. If you don't remember that, oh dear God, it was horrible, honestly. Personally, I think I would have rather watched the Father Dowling mysteries than watch Friday the 13th, the series. It was horrible. Geraldo, Hello Kitties, Furry Tale Theater. Jake and the Fat Man. Love Jake and the Fat Man. Karen's Song. I'm sorry, I don't remember that one. Lingo. That was a game show, and I think that they have revamped it, and I think it's still on Game Show Network. Mama's Boy, that was over in England. Pretty decent show. Married with Children made its debut. Max Headroom, he had his own TV series. My Pet Monster, that was a weird cartoon. My Two Dads, that was kind of a weird premise. Popeye and Son. She's the Sheriff. I mentioned that when I did my tribute to Suzanne Summers. She played the title character. Showtime at the Apollo, so we could see a lot of really great artists, comedians, just performers in New York from Podunk, Nebraska. Super Dave, he was on. Star Trek The Next Generation debuted in 1987. We were all introduced to Captain Picard, Commander Riker, Lieutenant Commander Data, Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge, Lieutenant Worf, Counselor Deanna Troi, Dr. Beverly Crusher, and in there was also Tasha Yar. I'm not a big fan of her. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that was out. 30-something, that was on. Top of the Pops. The Tortellis, I think that was supposed to be a knockoff or a spinoff of Carla on Cheers with her husband. It didn't last. Robert Stack was on with Unsolved Mysteries. And Win, Lose, or Draw was on. And then, of course, today we have our topic of The Princess Bride. So stick around after a few words from some of my fake sponsors.
This portion of the show is brought to you by GXO Tour and Travel. Booking trips to places that aren't as bad as what you've heard.
Welcome to Kentucky, where adventure meets an extremely simple lifestyle. Every corner holds a new story, but only with pictures. Experience the thrill of camping and fishing in the Kentucky Appalachians. Whether you are visiting the site of the Hatfields and McCoys or avoiding a pack of hillbillies who only want to compliment you on your pretty mouth and want to hear your hog culling skills, discover the warmth of our hospitality and richness of our culture, even if the family trees don't fork. From the backwoods to the western wetlands, from bustling cities to creepy little towns, there's something for everyone in Kentucky. Bourbon, blues, barbecue, bluegrass, and Daniel Boone. What's your Kentucky story gonna be? Plan your unforgettable adventure today, and remember, shoes and socks are optional. To book your trip to Kentucky, contact Ben Dover or Andy Kornholer, part of our expert team at GXO Tour and Travel.
Boston, Massachusetts has a lot more to offer than Bleeding Heart liberals, Red Sox fans, and baked beans. Come on down to Tremont Street, and you can enjoy an ice-cold Sam Adams in the pub while overlooking an ice-cold Sam Adams in the graveyard. Make sure you download the Wicked Accent Translator, available now through the GXO Tour and Travel app. It's going to make your trip to Boston a lot less frustrating. For example, here in the Midwest, khakis are pants. In Boston, khakis is what you use to start your electric rental car. Take in the rich Bostonian history, like where the original Ponzi scheme started, where Whitey Bulger killed other gangsters, or where Albert DeSalvo, a.k.a. the Boston Strangler, was convicted after 2 years and 13 murders. Boston, nowhere near as many gangsters and four times the amount of Bruins fans that you would expect. To book your trip to Boston, contact Amanda Hump or Stella Virgin, part of our expert team at GXO Tour and Travel.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
All right, welcome back from that break. The Princess Bride was adapted by William Goldman from his 1973 novel. It tells the story of a swashbuckling farmhand named Wesley, accompanied by companions befriended along the way, who he must rescue his true love, Princess Buttercup, from the odious Prince Humperdinck. The way the movie actually goes is a grandfather reads a novel to his sick grandson.
Sick. You're sick. That's why he's here.
He'll pinch my cheek. I hate that.
Maybe he won't.
Hey, how's the sick? Huh?
I think I'll leave you two pals alone.
I brought you a special present.
What is it?
Open it up.
A book?
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book. It was the book my father used to read to me when I was sick, and I used to read it to your father. And today, I'm going to read it to you.
Who initially dismisses the story. The book is about Buttercup, a young woman living on a farm in the fictional kingdom of Florin. Whenever she tells the farmhand Wesley to do something, he always complies, saying, as you wish.
As much pleasure as ordering Wesley around.
Farm boy, polish my horse's saddle.
I want to see my face shining in it by morning.
As you wish.
As you wish was all he ever said.
Farm boy, fill these with water. Please.
As you wish.
That day she was amazed to discover that when he was saying as you wish, what he meant was, I love you. And even more amazing was the day she realized she truly loved him back.
Farm boy. Fetch me that pitcher.
The two fall in love, and Wesley leaves to seek his fortune overseas, so then they can marry. However, Wesley is presumed dead after his ship is attacked by the dread pirate Roberts. 5 years later, Buttercup is forcibly betrothed to Florence Prince Humperdinck. He was a dick. Before the wedding, she is kidnapped by three outlaws. A small Sicilian named Vizzini.
Inconceivable.
A giant from Greenland named Fezzik, and a Spanish fencing master named Inigo Montoya, who seeks revenge against a six-fingered man who murders his father. A masked man in black pursues them, as does Prince Humperdinck and his soldiers atop the cliffs of insanity.
We are but poor lost circus performers. Is there a village nearby?
There is nothing nearby. Not for miles.
Then there will be no one to hear you scream.
Ah! What is that you're ripping?
It's fabric from the uniform of an army officer of Gilder.
Who is Gilder?
The country across the sea. The sworn enemy of Florin. Go! Once the horse reaches the castle, the fabric will make the prince suspect the Gilderians have abducted his love. When he finds their body dead on the Gilder frontier, his suspicions will be totally confirmed.
You never say anything about killing anyone.
I've hired you to help me start a war. It's a prestigious line of work with a long and glorious tradition.
I just don't think it's right, killing an innocent girl.
Am I going mad? Or did the word think escape your lips? You are not hired for your brains, you hippopotamic landmass.
I agree with Fezzik.
Oh, the sot has spoken. What happens to her is not truly your concern. I will kill her. And remember this. Never forget this. When I found you, you were so slobbering drunk, you couldn't buy brandy. And you, friendless, brainless, helpless, hopeless. Do you want me to send you back to where you were? Unemployed in Greenland!
And Vicini, he can fuss.
Fuss. Think he like to scream at us?
Probably he means no harm.
He's very, very short on charm.
You have a great gift for Ryan.
Yes. Some of the time.
Enough of that!
Fezzik, are there rocks ahead?
If they are, we'll all be dead.
No more rhymes now, I mean it.
Anybody want a peanut?
Yeah!
Thank you.
defeats Inigo Montoya in a fencing duel and knocks him out. He chokes out Fezzi into unconsciousness and tricks Vizzini into drinking a deadly poison. He forcibly flees with Buttercup.
Move the thing! And that other thing! He didn't fall? Inconceivable!
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Look, I don't mean to be rude, but this is not as easy as it looks, so I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't distract me.
Sorry.
Thank you. You don't I suppose you've got to speed things up? If you're in such a hurry, you could lower a rope or a tree branch or find something useful to do.
I could do that. I have got some rope up here, but I do not think it would accept my help, since I am only waiting around to kill you.
That does put a damper on our relationship.
But I promise I will not kill you until you reach the top.
That's very comforting, but I'm afraid you'll just have to wait.
Who are you?
No one of consequence.
I must know.
Get used to disappointment.
Hey.
You mean you'll put down your rock and I'll put down my sword and we'll try and kill each other like civilized people? Are you just fiddling around with me or what?
I just want you to feel you're doing well.
So, it is down to you and it is down to me. If you wish you're dead, by all means, keep moving forward.
Let me explain.
There's nothing to explain. You're trying to kidnap what I've rightfully stolen.
Perhaps an arrangement can be reached?
There will be no arrangement, and you're killing her.
Well, if there can be no arrangement, then we are at an impasse.
I'm afraid so. I can't compete with you physically, and you're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
Really? In that case, I challenge you to a battle of wits.
For the princess? To the death? I accept.
Good. Then pour the wine. Inhale this, but do not touch.
I smell nothing.
What you do not smell is called iocane powder. It is odorless, tasteless, dissolves instantly in liquid, and is among the more deadly poisons known to man. Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemy's? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You've made your decision, then?
Not remotely. Because iocane comes from Australia, as everyone knows. And Australia is entirely peopled with criminals. And criminals are used to having people not trust them, as you are not trusted by me, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going! Where was I?
Australia.
Yes, Australia. And you must have suspected I would have known the powder's origin, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're just stalling now.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? You've beaten my giant, which means you're exceptionally strong. So you could have put the poison in your own goblet, trusting on your strength to save you, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you've also bested my Spaniard, which means you must have studied. And in studying, you must have learned that man is mortal. So you would have put the poison as far from yourself as possible, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're trying to trick me into giving away something. It won't work.
It has worked. You've given everything away. I know where the poison is.
Then make your choice.
I will, and I choose. What in the world can that be?
What? Where? I don't see anything.
Oh, well, I could have sworn I saw something. No matter.
What's so funny?
I'll tell you in a minute. First, let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. I switched glasses when your back was turned. Ha ha, you fool. You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia. But only slightly less well known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Buttercup correctly guesses that he is the dread pirate Roberts. She rebukes him for killing her Wesley, shoves him into a gorge while tumbling down. He shouts,
"You can die too for all I care."
Oh. As you wish.
Oh, my sweet Wesley, what have I done?
As you wish. Realizing the man is Wesley, Buttercup then throws herself down the gorge after him, and they are reunited. While making their way through the fire swamp to avoid Humperdinck and his soldiers, Wesley explains how Dread Pirate Roberts is really more of an inherited title that he assumed when the previous Roberts retired. Having found Buttercup, Wesley intends to retire himself and pass on the title to someone else. Humperdinck captures the pair after they emerge from the fire swamp, having already endured holes that shoot jets of flame and pools of sinking lightning sand. They are also the home of rodents of unusual size. Buttercup agrees to return with Humperdinck after he promises to release Wesley. Humperdinck secretly orders his sadistic visor, Count Rugine, to take Wesley to his torture chamber, the Pit of Despair. Wesley notices that Rugine has six fingers on his right hand, and then Rugine knocks Wesley unconscious. When Buttercup threatens to fatally stab herself if the wedding happens, Humperdinck falsely promises to find Wesley for her. His real plan is to start a war with the neighboring country of Gilder by killing Buttercup and framing Gilder for it. Humperdinck has secretly hired Vizzini to kill Buttercup, but Wesley interfered. Meanwhile, Fezzik becomes part of the Brute Squad, ordered to clear the thieves from the forest before the wedding. He finds a drunk Inigo Montoya living in the forest, whom he sobers up and tells about Regine. Inigo says that he and Fezzik needs Wesley's help to storm the castle. Buttercup realizes that Humperdinck did not search for Wesley and calls him a coward. Enraged, Humperdinck imprisons Buttercup and tortures Wesley to a death-like state. Inigo and Fezzik, who follow Wesley's screams through the forest, find his body and bring him to Miracle Max.
Go away! What?
Are you the Miracle Max who worked for the king all those years?
The king's stinking son fired me, and thank you so much for bringing up such a painful subject. While you're at it, why don't you give me a nice paper cut and pour lemon juice on it? We're closed! Beat it, or I'll call the Brute Squad.
I'm on the Brute Squad.
You are the Brute Squad.
We need a miracle. It's very important.
Look, I'm retired. Besides, why would you want someone the king's stinking son fired? I might kill whoever you wanted me to miracle.
He's already dead.
He is, huh? I'll take a look. Bring him in.
I've seen worse.
Sir?
Yes.
Sir?
Huh?
We're in a terrible rush.
Don't rush me, Sonny. You rush a miracle mainly to get rotten miracles. You got money?
65.
Sheesh. I never worked for so little, except once, and that was a very noble cause.
This is noble, sir. His wife is crippled. Children are on the brink of starvation.
Are you a rotten liar?
I need him to help avenge my father, murdered these 20 years.
Your first story was better. Where's that Bellows Cram? He probably owes you money, huh? Well, I'll ask him.
He's dead. He can't talk.
Look who knows so much, huh? Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Please open his mouth. Now, mostly dead, he's slightly alive. Now, all dead, well, with all dead, there's usually only one thing that you can do.
What's that?
Go through his clothes and look for loose change. Hello in there. Hey, what's so important? What you got here that's worth living for?
True love. True love, you heard him? You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
Yeah, Sonny, true love is the greatest thing in the world. Except for a nice MLT, a mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich when the mutton is nice and lean and the tomatoes ripe. They're so perky. I love that. But that's not what he said. He distinctly said, to blave. And as we all know, to blave means to bluff. Huh? So you're probably playing cards, and he cheated.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Get back, witch!
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be dead anymore.
You never had it so good.
To love. He said to love, Matt.
Don't say another word, Valerie.
He's afraid. Ever since Prince Humperdinck fired him, his confidence is shattered.
Why'd you say that name? You promised me that you would never say that name.
What? Humperdinck? Humperdinck! Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
Humperdinck!
Humperdinck!
I'm not listening!
Love lies expiring, and you don't have the decency to say why you won't help.
Nobody's hearing nothing.
Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
This is Buttercup's true love. If you heal him, he will stop Humperdinck's wagon.
Shut up! Wait. I make him better. Humperdinck suffers?
Humiliations galore.
I did a lick, Beldanation. That is a noble cause. Give me the 65. Come on, the job.
That's a miracle pill.
The chocolate coating makes it go down easier, but you have to wait 15 minutes for full potency, and you shouldn't go in swimming after for at least, what?
An hour.
Yeah,
an
hour.
A good hour. Yeah.
Thank you for everything.
Okay.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.
A folk healer whose Humperdinck recently fired. The, quote, mostly dead Wesley is revived by Max, though he is severely weakened. As Wesley, Inigo, and Fezzik storm the castle, Humperdinck panics and orders the in-progress wedding ceremony to be shortened. Inigo tracks down Rejune, who taunts him about his father's death.
You've got an overdeveloped sense of vengeance. It's going to get you into trouble someday.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Montoya, you killed my father. Prepare to die.
Stop saying that! Hello! My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die!
Now! Offer me money.
Yes.
power to promise me that. All that I have and more. Please offer me everything I ask for.
Anything you want.
I want my father back, you son of a bitch.
Despite his injuries, Inigo eventually kills Rejune. Wesley locates Buttercup, who believes she is married to Humperdinck and is about to commit suicide. Wesley assures her that the marriage is invalid because she never completed her wedding vows. Humperdinck finds them and challenges Wesley to a duel, but Wesley willingly stands and intimidates Humperdinck into surrendering. Inigo finds Wesley at Buttercup, and Fezzik procures 4 horses for their escape. Having killed Rejune, Inigo is unsure what to do with the rest of his life. Wesley offers him the Dread Pirate Roberts title. As dawn arises, the reunited Wesley and Buttercup share a passionate kiss. The sick grandson eagerly asks his grandfather to read him the story again tomorrow. His grandfather replies, "As you wish."
"Now I think you ought to go to sleep." Okay. All right. So long.
Grandpa? Maybe you could come over and read it again to me tomorrow.
As you wish.
Rob Reiner, who had been enamored with Goldman's book ever since he was given it as a gift from his father, realized he wanted to make the film adaptation after successfully demonstrating his filmmaking skill with the release of This Is Spinal Tap in 1984. The Princess Bride was not a major box office success, but it has become quite the cult classic after its release into the home video market. The film is widely regarded as eminently quotable. Wallace Shawn had it the worst, because anytime somebody see him make a small error, like dropping his car keys, people would shout at him, "Inconceivable!" Thanks for joining us this week. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at the madman who created the live talk show circus, Jerry Springer. So join us next week.
The end.
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Pulpeye Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.